Luke 18 this morning, Luke 18. And those of you that are watching online, we welcome you again. And just want to remind you that you can give online. You can just go to our website and give your tithes and offerings there and sow into the kingdom of God. And in Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Luke 18, 1. Glory to Jesus. I see some of you moved closer after the altar call. You moved after the anointing time. You've moved closer. I'm glad you're here today. At least every one of us are going to smell like oil. Scented anointing oil. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 18, 1 says, men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't stop. Amen. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Seven verses later, in verse number 8, the Bible says, Jesus said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? If we fail to pray, faith will not grow. If we fail to seek the Lord, faith will die. How many know what I'm talking about? If you've gone a period of time without really seeking God, and maybe you've done your dinner prayer and your breakfast prayer, and come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed, amen. But you really haven't got into a place where you have sought the Lord and cried out to God, you will find your faith wavering. Because faith has got to be activated. Faith has got to be challenged. Faith has got to be told from the Word of God, yes, Lord, I believe what you said. Your faith has got to be challenged. It's got to be stirred up. Because it's our faith which moves us in our inner man to believing the things of God and acting upon what the Word of God says. Amen. It's faith that puts us in a position of trust. When we responded to the altar this morning to be anointed with oil, it was a response of faith. It wasn't the response of, hey, someone's going to touch me with oil and that's going to change things. What began to change things was the fact that you said in your heart, yes, I want to be anointed with fresh oil, and I believe what the word of the Lord says about being anointed, and therefore, in that faith, you receive the anointing and an impartation of the Spirit of God. Amen. How many of you understand that? Glory to God. Amen. Then you're awesome. You are a people of faith learning to move together with God. Men ought always to pray and to not faint. We've been teaching on praying forward. Everybody say praying forward. Or praying it forward. We gathered here. I just threw out a thing on Facebook last night and said, with all the cancellations and nothing to do, join me at the church for prayer. And we had people show up. It was awesome. But what we prayed for was we were praying forward even into this service today. What we were believing God to do, He did and is doing in this house this morning. Because we were praying forward. See, your children need your prayer forward because they're going to need your protection tomorrow. Come on, somebody. They're going to need the covering of the blood of Jesus over them for tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, but listen, we do know who holds our future. Amen. Amen. And when we pray, we are praying the act of praying into our tomorrows, into our destinies. So when you get up in the morning and you do your devotions, it's not just, Lord, help keep me, get me through the day. You are praying into every step, into every encounter, into, come on somebody, into every release of the Spirit, into everything that might happen that day to attack you or to tempt you or whatever. You are praying already into that by the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit who speaks the words of God. Come on, when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, He speaks the words of God. He's talking to the Father about things you don't know about yet. Come on. When you pray, it's not just a simple little thing, keep me. You're praying into everything you will ever encounter as you go on your journey and your walk in the Spirit of God with the Holy Ghost. Praying. Praying is more than just throwing a prayer up or saying a prayer. A prayer. Prayer is a noun. Praying is a verb. I don't just want to throw a prayer. I want to be praying, which activates the prayer. Come on, somebody. So we learned that praying is an act of spiritual connection with the Holy Spirit. It's a power connection. It's stirred up by the Word of God inside of us. Praying is when we engage the Holy Spirit in our heavenly language and pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit according to the will of God, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. Who would have known, and perhaps you weren't aware of what was going to happen this morning when you arrived, but you came into this house today by faith, expecting God to do something fresh for you. And you may not have known exactly what God was going to do, but because we have prayed into this day from yesterday, the Spirit of the Lord showed up. Amen. Praying's engaging the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible, the Scripture is filled with prayers. In fact, I've prayed many prayers from the Bible. I've prayed them from the Psalms. I was praying them last night. I was praying from Jeremiah. I was praying from Isaiah. I was praying from Psalm 91. I was praying prayers that are already in this word, already in this scripture, in this book. But when I began to engage those with the Holy Spirit, something powerful took place. It's one thing just to read the Bible as a prayer to the Lord. It's a deeper thing to get a hold of that by the Holy Spirit, stirred up and engaged and connected with the Holy Ghost when you are praying those prayers. But now listen to me, because there's something I think most importantly, the Bible is filled with prayers. Did you catch that? The Bible is filled with prayers. In other words, those who act upon prayer through their praying. They became prayers. I was asking the Lord this week among everything that's going on in our world, and I said to the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to be involved in what's going on in the world right now? What can I do? Anybody asking yourself that? I didn't go look for toilet paper. That just amazes me. But I said, Lord, how do you want me to be involved? And He spoke this so loud and strong to my spirit. He said, I want you to be a prayer with the same power that the prayers in the Bible had. I want you to be a prayer. I don't want you to just say prayers to me, because many times we can do that out of a panic mode or a fear mode and a hoping God may do something mode, when it's the prayer of faith that will save the sick. It's the prayer of faith that moves the hand of God. It's the prayer of faith that moves mountains. Hello, somebody. And he said specifically to me, he said, I want you to be a prayer and not waste your time on things that don't matter. Now, that's a whole secondary thing. He said, I want you to be a prayer. That stirred me deep. Because as I look through the scripture and find people who are prayers, they always got answer to their prayers because they were praying, come on, according to the Word of God. They were engaging the Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to have my praying become worthwhile or worthless by just throwing up a prayer. I want my prayer to be powerful by my praying, which is energized by the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Ghost. How about you? Be a prayer. The Bible is filled with prayers. Not just prayers, prayers. Somebody say, I want to be a prayer. Say, I want to be a prayer. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm going to be a prayer. Because I want my praying effective. Because the Bible says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. A prayer. I said, Lord, show me in the Bible where there were some prayers. He took me to the book of Acts, and I'm glad he did, because the book of Acts is where the church really began. The book of Acts is where the power of the church and the power of evangelism really started. It was on the day of Pentecost. I said, Lord, show me some praying and show me where there are some answers. Let's look at a few of those this morning, all right? The first one's found in Acts 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, they were gathered together and they were praying. They didn't have a book of prayers. They weren't there just trying to make something up, hoping that something would happen. They had gone to the upper room by faith and obedience to the Word of God, the voice of the Lord, because he said, you go and tarry. You go to Jerusalem, and you wait for the promise of the Father that I'm going to send upon you. And when they were gathered together, 120, the Bible says, they were praying. Somebody say praying. See, praying is the action, is the activity, is engaging the Holy Spirit. They were engaging heaven and didn't realize what that engagement with heaven was about to release upon them. They didn't realize that their praying was going to be turned into power. Oh, come on, somebody. I try to project myself into the Bible stories and the Bible happenings. And God, what was it like on the day of Pentecost? What were they praying about? They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet to tell them what to pray for. I'm sure that they were a little bit confused, because he said, just go get up there, go up there and gather. And when you get together, something's going to happen. Something powerful is going to take place. And they were praying. In fact, most scholars believe that the upper room pouring out of the Holy Spirit was not a little room up in a building, that they were together in a gathering of strength and faith that was somewhere near the Wailing Wall or the temple in Jerusalem. Because everybody that was gathered around there heard them praying in their own language. That can't happen. That wouldn't happen up in a little room tucked away on some housetop. Hello. I don't have time to teach on that this morning. But they were praying. They may have been saying, Jesus, you told us to gather here and pray. In fact, they even asked him and said, teach us to pray. And he said, here's how you're going to pray. I was meditating on this and because I was saying, okay, Lord, you want me to be more of a prayer. Show me more how to be a prayer. And I was thinking about the only place in the Bible that Jesus taught them how to pray was our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It wasn't the verbiage, but it was the principles of praying. So they may have been saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And suddenly heaven came to earth. Suddenly a wind showed up. How many believe there's a Holy Spirit in heaven, a God in heaven, a Jesus in heaven? How many believe there's a wind of the Spirit that refreshes heaven? Come on. How many understand that the breath of heaven is God Himself? He is the Ruach. Oh, are you getting this? And they're praying, and suddenly, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. And the Ruach decides it's the moment to come. And the heaven comes, and the breath of God comes, and He breathes into them. And they begin to speak in their heavenly language, in the Holy Ghost, as the Spirit gave them utterance. But the whole key, folks, is they were praying. They were praying. They didn't know what this Holy Spirit was going to look like, even though that Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit to His disciples. And all of a sudden, in the middle of their praying, something glorious takes place. And they're all baptized in the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire sit upon each one of them. A phenomena. No, it was more than a phenomena. It was a glorious demonstration of heaven, of the glory of God. But in their praying, because Jesus said, go and wait. And wait didn't mean to just sit around and twiddle their thumbs and see what might happen. Wait actually meant to serve and to minister to the Lord. Go wait on the Lord. Go minister to the Lord. I dare you this afternoon to get alone after you get home and minister to the Lord and see what happens. I dare you. I double dare you. If you want double portion, I double dare you. But now watch. Good thing this is a series. They were praying. And while they were praying, engaging heaven, heaven came. I found another place where they were praying. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1. This is after Pentecost. Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. They're on their way to the temple to pray, or in other words, the hour of praying. They were going to the temple to engage heaven. Oh, I hope you're getting this. And they come by the gate beautiful. And at the gate beautiful, there's a lame man sitting there. He'd been there from birth begging for alms. A lame man. They had been praying. They are on their way to the hour of praying where they gather together. And they pass this man at the gate beautiful. And Peter looks at him and he says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reaches down and grabs his hand because he wasn't afraid of the virus. And he lifted him up. And he went walking and leaping and praising God, because out of their praying came a miracle. Out of their praying. Why this day? Because they had walked by him so many times going to the temple to pray. Why this day? Because on this day, because they had been praying and faith was coming alive in their hearts, and they had been at Pentecost where heaven came down. On this day, something had changed on the inside of them because of their praying. And when they saw him this time, they reached out and said, "Come on, man, let's go to prayer. We're going to praying. Get up and walk with us." It was out of their praying that a miracle happened. When we come to the altars together in this house and we pray and we're laying hands on people to receive from the Lord, it's because out of our praying, miracles happen. Are you hearing this? Because you've been anointed with oil this morning, you're going to find, because of your faith, you're not only going to find a fresh anointing upon you, you're going to find some things in your body got healed today. You're going to find some things in your mind you got delivered from today. Come on. You're going to find some things in your emotions just all settled down because fear had to leave and the Prince of Peace came to rule. Am I preaching to the right house? They're praying. In Acts chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says they were praying. The apostles, the disciples, they were praying. And the place was shaken, just like Pentecost. It was shaken. And with great power and miracles, they gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus. What happened? As they were praying, all of a sudden, miracles were in the house. The anointing of God was in the house because they were praying. They were prayers. They knew now how to touch. They knew now how to touch heaven. After the day of Pentecost, they knew then how to get a hold of the throne of God, how to walk in faith and stand in faith and proclaim the name of the Lord. And miracles took place. In their praying, miracles happened. Let me give you a few more. In chapter 10, verse number 2, Cornelius is praying. And Cornelius has a vision. And in his vision, he sees the gospel coming to the Gentiles and the Spirit of God being poured out. Paul has the same vision in another place and sends him to Cornelius. And he told Cornelius, "Receive him." And he said, "But wait a minute. He's the one that's been persecuting the Jews. He's the one that's been attacking and killing my people. Or the Jews, rather." And he said, "I don't want him to do the same to my people." I'm paraphrasing. But now here's what happens. He's praying. He gets the vision. God sends him. It comes over. Revival happens to the Gentiles. God pours out his spirit just, as Paul said, just on them, just as he did in the beginning, the day of Pentecost. In their praying, even as Gentiles who were not covenant people, they got a covenant answer. Because they were praying to the covenant God. That's a powerful word. They were praying. In Acts 12, verse 2, the church was gathered together in a house because Peter had been thrown in jail. He was in prison. And they began to pray. They were praying. And the Bible says that while they're praying, an angel goes into the prison and delivers Peter from the prison. And all of a sudden, they hear a knock at the door, and they send one of the young girls to go check who it is because we're busy praying. And she opens the door, and it's Peter. I can see this happening. Opening the door in inner shock, slamming the door, and running back. He's supposed to be in jail. He's supposed to be in prison. But he's at the door. He said, the what? And they come and open the door, and there's Peter, because in their praying, God had delivered Peter from the hand of the enemy and the prison door. Hallelujah. An angel of the Lord brought him out. In their praying, they got an answer. In their praying. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we'll pull this together. Paul and Silas are thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. You know what? Should I say this, Holy Spirit? The enemy wanting to close the doors of churches is if he's saying, you cannot preach the gospel anymore. Thought I'd throw that out there. You know, it almost says to me as a pastor, when the devil wants to shut up my voice, that I've been called to be an oracle of God. I am with Paul. I cannot but help but preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. And Paul and Silas are in prison, the deepest, darkest part of the prison where there's no light. And the Bible says that they were praying. They were throwing up prayers. They were praying. They were engaging the Holy Spirit, of whom Paul and Silas knew very well. Because Paul said, even to the church at Corinth, I pray in tongues more than you all. I know how to engage heaven. I know how to get a hold of God. He wasn't bragging. He was correcting them at the Corinthian church and saying, look, listen, use the gifts of the Spirit to get a hold of God, not to argue about. Oh, that's a good word for somebody. Use the gifts of God to touch the throne of God rather than arguing about them in the body of Christ. Don't stop flowing in them. Don't stop operating in them. But don't use them as a contention. Use them as the manifestation they were meant to have, and that is to bring people to Jesus with signs and wonders and miracles. And here they are, and they're praying. I can imagine The Bible didn't say they were complaining. Silas didn't say, look, Paul, what you got me into. If I hadn't have followed you, if I hadn't have gone on this journey with you, Paul, I wouldn't be here in jail. It's all your fault. No, no, no. They were partners with God. Come on. They were laborers together with God. And they knew that God would deliver them out of whatever they would need delivered out of. As they went forth and preached the gospel of Jesus. And the Bible says at midnight they are praying and they are singing praises to God. Singing praises is part of praying. When we activate a worship chorus unto the Lord, it's praying, it's proclaiming, it's part of it. And they're praying. And suddenly there's an earthquake. I tell you folks, listen to me. This world is going to be shaken to its core. It already is. We preached about it for a year, last year. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get it into a book form right now. But there was a shaking that shook. And I prophetically declare that this whole globe right now is under some kind of shaking. That God is saying, wake up! If you'll turn to me, if you'll turn to the Lord, I'll break your chains. I'll open your doors. Come on. I'll tear the prison doors open. I'll bring you into victory in the name that's above every name. Come on, somebody shout glory to Jesus. And when the earthquake happened, the Bible says that everyone's bonds were broken. See, I look at it this way. When I come to the house of the Lord to worship Him and glorify Him, I'm believing for everybody's bonds to be broken. Because my praise can shatter the bondage in somebody else's life. Because it's part of my praying. And when I'm praying, I will get an answer. I will have a miracle. I will see an intervention. I will see God manifest Himself when I'm praying. Hallelujah. Stand with me all over this house.